thinking of resurrection, I have never met anyone, seriously, who said to me, I want to die so that I could try out this resurrection stuff. Most people I know who have been truly suicidal, they really don't want anything to continue. I have met a lot of people through the days, the months, and even years of long suffering that comes with some diseases and conditions that have said, I'm ready to die to this life no matter what comes next. But many of them have died desirous of the promises of resurrection reality. This morning, what is kind of intriguing me most about the resurrection storyline is what Frederick Buchner calls the darkness of the resurrection itself. That morning when it was hard to be sure what you were seeing. As our gospel reading from St. John describes it, the disciples stumbled around in the half light of that third day after Jesus' crucifixion, running here, going there in their confusion. Was it an angel sitting on that unlit tomb? Were those shadows or are those grave clothes? The stranger lingering outside, was he the gardener? Early in the morning, while it was still dark, that's where Easter begins. It begins hidden in the dark. Now, when I was growing up, the key Easter fact to proclaim was that Jesus rose again, physically, bodily, literally, from the dead. As long as I believed in the historicity of the resurrection, I was safe. Later as an adult, I discovered, if you will, that there are many ways to think about resurrection and that Easter narrative. The resurrection, some suggested, was a metaphor in these versions, not a literal historical fact, but a potent symbol of transformation, renewal, rebirth. Whether or not Jesus physically rose again didn't matter. His friends and followers, they experienced his continued presence in whatever form, and that was enough. The fact is, the resurrection happened like in total darkness. Sometime in the pre-dawn hours of that Sunday morning, a great mystery transpired in secret. No sunlight illuminated that event. No human being witnessed it. And even now, some 2,000 years later, no human narrative can adequately handle it. It exceeds all of our attempts to pin it down because it's a mystery known only, I guess, to God. Whatever the resurrection was, is, physical, literal, metaphoric, symbolic, its fullness still lies in holy darkness, shielded from our eyes. All we can know is that somehow, in an ancient tomb, on a starry night, God worked in secret to bring life out of death. Somehow, in the utter darkness, life continued. A few years ago here at First United, we were blessed with the presence of a guy named Harry Hollis. He was so many things. He was an engineer who worked for the old Ma Bell. He was an avid environmentalist. He was a chief architect in the formation of the Deem Wilderness. He was an IU athlete that had run in track and field proudly with the famous Jesse Owens. And he would be so proud that this congregation went on to install 307 solar panels that's powering all of this morning. He was 97, I think, when he died, and his mind was it just kept alive and learning and growing, even through the death process. To visit Harry in his approach to death was to meet a gentle, fully attained soul that you just wanted to hook your wagon to, because his life soared right along with his soul. And Harry told me often that the world that not yet was eagerly awaiting his death. He says, "It's time for me to be gone, so that other things may grow outside of my shadows in the soil that I have fertilized with the work I have done." And he said, "I don't know about life after life, but I've been surprised so many times in my life that I'm eager to discover what comes next. And perhaps most importantly, I have met people, myself included many times over, who have been lost in grief, in brokenness, despair, who have experienced resurrection in our lives. It has not erased anything that has happened, but it has given us new horizons for us to soar toward as God's Spirit has lifted us up as if on eagle's wings to live into a new day. God is fully present this day, the wonderful, life-giving day, and I think rejoicing is the appropriate response. The shroud of death is no longer controlling us. The future is open, and we are free. We are free to act boldly and lovingly. God is doing a new thing. The divine creativity brings forth new life with every new day, and that creates life where death appears triumphant. It may seem like an idle tale, an April Fool's joke, but to those who have experienced resurrection, this tale witnesses to life bursting forth in the face of death. Now, I chose to have read the two resurrection narratives this morning from the Gospels of Mark and John. In both stories, please remember that women are at the center and, for all intents and purposes, challenged to be the first messengers of that great commission to go and tell the world well before the guys ever caught on. Though the women described in Mark's gospel are silent at first, I believe they eventually mustered the courage, just let it fall into themselves, and learned to tell the incredible story that the tomb is empty and that life begins anew. The gospel accounts present two different perspectives on the resurrection, and they need not to be harmonized. In contrast to the approach of many today, the early church was fabulously comfortable with diverse witnesses to Jesus' birth and resurrection. The differing stories were not a stumbling block to faith or veracity, but a reminder that resurrection is ultimately indescribable. Neither Jesus nor his resurrection can be encompassed by our best theologies or rituals. God comes to us in our most dire situations and rolls away those stones of hopelessness. I don't think God is very orthodox, nor does God demand one path to our knowledge or experience of God's presence in our world. I think we see in a mirror dimly, especially when it comes to things like resurrection. Our words and our worship point to the moon, but to use a Zen Buddhist image, they are not the shining orb that guides our path through life's wilderness moments. And this is especially true of resurrection, which can never be fully understood by these minds of ours. It's a loving mystery that I and others experience, and I think still do not understand. Jesus' resurrection is not orthodox, nor does it fit into any dogmatic statement. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit, a power that goes where it will, unconfined by human conceptualities or authority systems. From now on, I don't think Jesus can be localized in Galilee or in Jerusalem, because I think the risen Christ is everywhere. From now on, I don't even think Jesus can be localized in the tradition that bears his name, because Jesus brings wholeness to all creation and persons of all cultures. And in that same spirit, Peter proclaimed a gospel, a global gospel, and affirms that God shows no partiality among nations and cultures, and dare we say, churches? The resurrection is for all. Salvation is for all. No institution can claim to be the proprietor of resurrection power. Resurrection is as real now as it was in the first century. It still brings new life to lost and the vulnerable and alienated, the grieving. It struck me the other day as I was reading about politics that you can't build a wall to contain resurrection. It's incorrigible in its universality. Resurrection is the ultimate antidote to death in all of its faces, from bigotry and xenophobia. Resurrection plays no favorites. Although I am no biblical literalist, for a moment I want to play that literalist game, asking anyone who restricts resurrection to a few favored believers what it's all about when it says, "For as all died in Adam, all will be made alive in Christ." All means all, not in part or predestined or simply some kind of believers, but all. At the very least, resurrection touches us all, providing a pathway from the deaths we experience to life for everyone, even those who are afar off as a result of doubt, behavior, or religious tradition. As Paul says elsewhere, God will be all in all. Often in my life, it is only in retrospect, only as I look back at the grave sides of my life, that I discover the beginnings of new life. Poet R.S. Thomas describes the process this way in a poem. "There have been times when, after long on my knees, in a cold chancel, a stone has rolled from my mind, and I have looked in and seen the old questions lie, folded in place by themselves, like the piled grave clothes of love's risen body," end quote. This Easter, may the Christ who rose in the darkness lead us into new life, new light, new hope. May we know him in all those half-lit places, the shadow places, the hard places. May we dare to linger at the graveside until he calls our name. And may we always share with hope the news of God's greatest mystery, that Christ is risen. He's indeed risen indeed. Amen.